All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. As you know, we are in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Let me just read from verse 16 briefly, but where we are going to continue from today is verse 22. It said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for this flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things which you please." What he was saying, of course, like we remember, is that he's saying that there are two things that control your activity. Let me just explain that again. Number one, there is a desire of the flesh, and then there's a desire of the Spirit. And I've already explained that desire of the flesh are the things that come naturally. And that's why David said, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Because the fear of the Lord is not natural. It's that which you are taught. So when he says, walk, all right, when he's talking about the Spirit, now desire of the Spirit, he's talking about that which was infused into you, number one, by the new birth, God dropping his seed into you, and then by instructions, all right, with the word of God. That constitutes a new impetus for life. So those two things are warring against one another. He said, what you now find out is that it becomes difficult for you to do that which makes you happy, which you really want to do. He said, but there is a solution to that. Now, he said, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And I've already explained that there is what the Bible calls the Spirit of Christ. Let me quickly explain that. All right? Again, I don't know whether I did that last time. But the Spirit of Christ is the summary of all that which propelled Christ Jesus in everything that he did. Do you understand what I mean? For example, there was a time that his flesh was tired. When I say tired now, it's not as if he was weary, but that when he anticipated what was going to happen, he said that, "Do I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause, I came to this hour. That why do I say, God, please don't let me go through this suffering?" He said, "I know that I was born preserved up to this point, that I might go through this suffering." Do you understand that? So that was something, that was the Spirit of Christ, which was desiring against what was natural to his flesh. His natural flesh wanted to say, "Lord, deliver me from this hour." But the Spirit of Christ that was in him, now we took it from him, that's why the name is not Spirit of Christ, but that Spirit of God in him made it clear to him that you are walking according to purpose, therefore you cannot pray certain prayers. One of the things I have come to understand in the last few weeks or days is that issue of prayer. I was teaching it last time, that though it's, you know, when Jesus was teaching certain things to his disciples, it was clear that he was talking to disciples, not just to strangers. So that when he will say that if anybody will ask for anything and they will believe and they will have whatever he says, he doesn't expect that the man will sit down, envy his wife's neighbor, is a neighbor's wife, and start believing that he will receive. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? No matter how much you believe, you have already put yourself out of the class of people that Jesus was talking to. So it was implicit in his statement, all right? So in the same manner, when Christ will want to, you know, though he had the ability to ask God for anything, but before he will ask, he will consider the thing he wants to ask, whether it follows the purpose and the plan of God for his life. That's what is called walking by the Spirit, not walking by that which comes to you naturally. And we'll see that again. I just may explain it now. So the Spirit of Christ is the motivation for everything that Christ did. For example, the Bible, if you go back, we'll see that later on, the book of Philippians. Paul will say, "Let this mind that was in Christ also be in you." That is the attitude, the thing that was propelling his actions. He said that what was that mind? That he did not count what he had as so precious that he cannot let it go. But he willingly let his glory go and became obedient even to the point of death. Therefore, God highly exalted him. That was the Spirit of Christ. So when we're talking about walking by the Spirit, that's what we're talking about. And last time I explained the issue of selfishness being the center of sin, being the root of sin. Now, you know, the Bible says that the love of money is a root of all evil. Do you understand my point? Now, I'm trying to use that same expression, that selfishness is not a. Now, the Bible says the love of money is a root. That is, there are many roots of evil. All right? Jealousy and stuff, when you envy somebody else, it produces a lot of evil. So that's why the love of money is a root. But I'm telling you now that selfishness is the root of all sin. Do you get my point? When Satan was going to tempt Eve, that was what he did. Listen, you will be wise. You will become important. You will be. And that was not, that was against the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christ is that it is not me, but Christ. It is not me, but what? God. That's the way it works. So, if it's not going to serve the purpose of God on earth, no matter how well it will make me look, do you get my point? No matter how beautiful I will appear to people, no matter how appealing I will be, no matter how materially affluent I will be, no matter how influential I will become in life, if that thing will not serve the purpose of God, then I don't want it. That's the difference. That is the difference. But Satan says, oh, look at you. Anything you do nice for, just do it so that for your own benefit. That's the opposite of walking according to the Spirit of Christ. Let me tell you that thing again. God will answer prayers. But I've noticed something from the words of James. If we don't pray according to the Spirit of Christ, we are making it impossible for Him to answer us. His promises. I've heard people say things like this. I don't believe them. I mean, if it's now that I'm teaching, that I'm understanding why I never could understand or agree with the people. They say when Jesus spoke, He said, whoever, whatever, wherever. That He did not say, if any Christian shall. Are you getting my point? So that these are principles that work everywhere. I've been hearing that thing for decades. Well, how would I mind that I've been hearing things for decades, actually? But believe me, for over 10 years. So people will tell you that these things work for Hindus, works for Muslims. And I beg to disagree now. Why I'm disagreeing is simple. I've come to understand that there are things that are, like I said, implicit. They are just inside the statement. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are just there without us having to break it down. For example, if I explain to you that, look, the meeting is 8 a.m. on Saturday, second Saturday of the month. Without saying anything further, you can look and say, he's talking to this guy, he's not talking to this guy, he's talking to this guy, he's not talking to this guy. Why? Because you've been here before. You know what the meeting is about. You know it's a meeting for co-workers. Do you understand? Without me going into details, explaining it, because I believe that everybody has gotten used to it. Do you understand my point? So when Jesus would teach the principles upon which He got results, He wasn't saying that even Satan will use the same principle and it will work. He doesn't have my motivation. He doesn't have my backing. He doesn't have the Spirit of God walking towards Him as He's walking towards me. I am talking to those who are drinking of my Spirit. I'm talking to my disciples. They are the ones that came to me and said, Master, the tree that you cursed has died already. And I'm explaining to my disciples certain principles. So don't go and say it works with the disciples of John the Baptist. Don't come and say it works with the disciples of the Pharisees. I wasn't talking to them. I was talking to my disciples. Please, do you understand my point? I'm talking about the issue of the Spirit of Christ. All right? And the Spirit of God that is inside us. So it said if you are led by that Spirit, then the law is not necessary. So you are not under the law. That is, the law was designed for those who are not led by that Spirit. I just feel like explaining that thing again. The law was designed for those who were not led by the Spirit. When we use the word led here, let me just explain it again. When we use the word led, those who as growing up Christians under the Word of Faith movement and the influence of people teaching those Word of Faith things, one of the things that were taught was how to be led by the Spirit of God. And then different books were written on it. All of them centered about how you hear an inward witness, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, or you see a vision, or you dream, and all of that. Now listen to me. Those things are correct. I personally have been led, apart from voice, you understand what I mean? Eventually I've had, and visions, I can't remember whether I've ever seen a vision. Except visions of the night, which we also interpret as dreams, alright? I've had serious dreams, dreams that are very serious, alright? And they have played out exactly like it was in the dream. What kept me patient until I began Kingdom World Ministries in the year 2001, in Enugu here. Although from 1990, I knew I was going to do ministry work. 11 years. What kept me patient was a dream I dreamt in 1993 during my youth service. And in that dream, I knew the road was long. I woke up and knew, I just knew what it meant without much analysis. Okay? Now, I have had, you know, the inward witness lead me. I've had, you know, inside me strong. In fact, the Lord has spoken to me in manners before that knocked me into my seat. I was in a meeting and Bishop Oedipo was leading prayers. And he said, everybody put up your hands and begin to say this. And as I said that prayer to God, the Lord answered directly. I fell into my chair. Not under any anointing, no. Under the impact of the gravity of the decision I had to make. I sat down, bam, and stopped praying. Bishop, you're on your own. You know that? Not as if I abandoned him, but that's how rapidly God answered. Do you understand my point? So those things happen. I'm saying it so that it won't be like you don't know what they're talking about. I do. However, that's not what the Bible is saying when it talks about being led by the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ. That's not what the Bible is saying. Are you getting my point? Therefore, people read and try to practice. I talked to a brother once. He said, I prayed, and the Holy Spirit said, I said, look, why don't you just relax and forget this Holy Spirit said, and Holy Spirit not say, just do that which is right. Because he was doing a lot of discerning, trying to discern that which is right. For me, on things that are absolutely relevant. You know, I like to illustrate it like this. You've heard of Buddha, you know, the man Buddha who started Buddhism. One of those seekers of those days. He said one day Buddha was beside the waters. That's beside the river. And he saw a man who had been practicing one of their doctrines or principles of, you know, of spiritual matters. And they called it austerity. I don't know what it means. I never bothered to investigate the meaning of the word austerity for them. And the man said he had practiced austerity for 20 years. He was telling Buddha. And that now, because of that, his practice of those spiritual matter, now he can walk on water. So Buddha looked at him and said, 20 years to walk on water. Why didn't you just pay a ferry, 1 shilling, and to just carry you across? I don't know whether you got that point. 20 years, look, to me, that's such an insightful statement. The man looked at the younger fellow, said, 20 years, I don't know whether he's younger or something, but one of the fellows, they're all doing this kind of worship together. 20 years because you want to walk on water. When I could have labored for a few hours in a day, and 1 shilling, given to the ferry, and I will sit down while the ferryman goes across the water. Now that's something, so that's what we practice a lot of times in Christianity, in what we call learning to be led by the Spirit of God. Sometimes they border on what the Bible calls divination. Divination is this deliberate attempt, all right, to know the future. Usually it implies that you are using means that are not ordained by God. Do you understand my point? Now, it is possible. Now, if I say some things, I hope you won't get confused. Well, you should listen to me. Don't worry, which kind of human being is this guy? Many years ago, a friend of mine harassed me so much about the writings of Tuesday Lobsang Rampa. I don't know how many of you ever heard of Lobsang Rampa. Most of these young people, they don't know Lobsang Rampa. When I was in secondary school, he was a reigning name, all right, in mystical things, all right? Lobsang Rampa. He had books around. In 1989, thereabout, during when we were on holiday from, compulsory school closure from SAP riots, one of my friends, Raphael, he had read the book. So he made so much noise about the book. I saw it with him. He said all the things inside the book are true, and every day he was talking. I was a believer. At that time, I still started teaching Bible. That was 89. So I said, look, oh boy, these things are not... But after a while, I told him, I said, Banky, have you ever read Lobsang Rampa? No. What's the issue? So I told the guy, okay, give me the book. So he gave me the book. So I spent a few days and read it from cover to cover. I still remember the title of the book, You Forever. That's the title. And when I finished reading the book, I handed it to the guy like, you have been wasting your time now. You didn't waste my time. I knew what I was doing. I said, just take like you're a confused fellow. Because I read through that book. It has many volumes, published by Corgi Books. If you remember Corgi those days, they used to do a lot of James Hadley Chase. So, the man has plenty. I wasn't interested. I read that first one. I said, this same thing will be in the rest of them. But the principle was simple. He described telepathy, levitation, described all kinds of those mystical practices, showed how you can pick up a pebble, and you will know the history of the rock from which it broke off. How you can pick a letter written in a language you do not understand. Run your fingers over it and you will know the interpretation. I don't have any reading. I said, okay, so when I will have done all of these things, how will it serve the purpose of God in my life? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen, that's the question you ask God yourself all the time. Those men go through all of those things. And listen, that's why a lot of people came hard against that doctrine in Christianity. I have a book. My wife saw it in my collection the other day. She was looking for materials to read, and she saw it. I said, yeah, that's one of the most balanced books I've ever seen on the subject. It's How to Recognize God's Voice by Graham Fitzpatrick. Beautiful book. And the man was very angry with a lot of these practices. That these things border on divination. He will tell you, pray until God speaks to you. So what if he doesn't want to talk? Are you going to force him? What's wrong with you? Now force. Like we say in no pigeon on that side. You won't by force him. You can't by force God to talk to you. Now, I'm explaining something. Because we felt that that's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. But that's not what it means. What it means to be led by the Spirit of God, okay, simply means to be propelled. Are you getting what I'm saying? By that same character of spirit and soul that moved Christ Jesus. To be led doesn't mean, come, I want you to come this way. No. To be led means that I get to a junction, I'm going to the left, I'm going to the right. If hunger is what is leading me, the decision to go to the left or the right is decided by where food is smelling from. Being led by the spirit of hunger or the spirit of grudge is to flow in the direction from where the smell of food is arising. Do you understand my point? Being led, all right, by the desire for knowledge will be to take the road that goes to where teachings, all right, instructions, a library, whatever it is being given. Do you understand my point? That's what it means to be led. It's what is moving you in life. For example, the love of money is what is moving a lot of people in this generation, including Christians. A man who is being led by covetousness goes to prayer and says, Holy Spirit, speak to me. And Holy Spirit says, you are not where I talk. That is until you remove covetousness from your soul. Which voice are we discussing? Please, I hope you are getting my point. That's what it meant by as many as are led by the Spirit. Is it that if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law? Or as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's what he's saying. It's not as many as has learned to see visions, to recognize the Holy Spirit inside them talking, to still small voice. No! It's what is moving you in life. One of the things that moved Christ Jesus, but the most important for him, and should be for all of us. In fact, it's the same thing. I said the scripture is so connected. All he wanted to do was to do the will of God. And that's what the Bible calls the love of God. The love of God is not like, Lord, I love you so much. If I catch you now, I'll give you a hug and a big kiss. Love of God is, he said, if a man loves me, what did he say? He will keep my commandments. And then the Father will love him. And I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. If a man loves me, he will keep. Love for God is known by the keeping of his commandments. So when Jesus wanted to make decisions in life, he was always with, why am I here? How will this further the purpose of God for which cause I was born? Listen, if you pray that prayer, it's not every visa you will apply for. Do you get my point? It's not everything that will move you. Say, people are running up and down. It's not everything that will be able to shift you from where you are. I gave you an example the other day. I had to make a decision. Something happened today. We're having exams in my college now, and amongst discussions we're having with my colleagues, I realized again the gravity of the decision I had to make. I was being invited to go to Calabas and external examiner. Those things were very important. At the same time, the same days, I was invited to come to Benin to come and preach. Some people will say, okay, you pray until the Holy Spirit speaks to you, which one you should go? Believe me, Holy Spirit doesn't talk under such circumstances. You know what he does? He just waits. Choose the one that's more important to you. That's all he say. Look, I prayed, oh God, help me here, help me here. I was praying, I knew about God won't say nothing. Holy Spirit said, my spirit said, a lot of the spirits that are said, a lot of those spirits are just, let me put it like this. They're just a summary of your desires. I don't know whether you get my point. If you like a woman very much, you go have Holy Spirit to say, don't marry her. Holy Spirit will wait till you are frustrated before he talks. Because the more you pray, the more you will hear her name. When you want to sleep, oh Father, I just worship you. You just hear Amaka, whatever the name is. Oh, say Lord, the Holy Spirit, as I was about to sleep, you send her a text. Hey, do you know what happened just now? As I was worshiping. And from the depth of my soul, it arose, as it were. Holy Spirit, not your fault. It's not your fault. Just wait. No, that's where it is work. So that's why a man can tell you, my spirit said, and he'll be wrong. Because what is moving him is what that spirit is. And that's why your responsibility in life every day is to pray. Alright? So that the will of God will swallow your will. Do you get the point I'm making? And that's what he's saying. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. That what is propelling you, if it is that thing, like the one that prepared Christ Jesus, you don't need a commandment. That's why Jesus could break, listen, commandment, it appeared, okay, without breaking the law of God, the true law of God. That's why he could understand the reason behind commandments. They'll say, okay, that you shall not walk on it. He understood that. But when he saw a person in need on that day, though it was a Sabbath day, compassion moved him. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. That's just the way it works. Please, let's get that thing clear. It's very important. I just want to emphasize it again. Now, all those manifestations, what we call being led by the Spirit of God, do they happen? Yes, that's why I first told you what I did. All right? That they do happen. But that's not what the Bible is saying. When is it being led by the Spirit of God? When is it talking about being led by the Spirit of God? It's something that's with you every time. God doesn't have to speak any special words to you. Please, I hope you've gotten that point. All right, so let's just rush down to where we were. So he said, now the deeds, this was where we stopped, and I don't want to explain them again. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Okay, I was saying something. Let me just remember to say it. Now, when people have something leading them, that's not the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of God, then God needs to put them in check by law. Do you understand my point? So he puts commandments down. So that the commandment now will now be warring against the thing that you really want to do. And that was a conflict that Paul explained, if you read that Romans chapter 7. Now, he said, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are all these things, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, and all of that. We read them last time. In which I explained that selfishness is the root of everything. He now said from verse 22, and that's what I want to continue developing from today. But the spirits, he said, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith or faithfulness. Literally it says faith. All right? Gentleness, that's verse 23. Self-control, it says, against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let me just read the last two verses so that I can say what I want to say. Because that concludes that portion of Paul's discussion. He said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Now, the first word I want to explain there is that word, fruit. If you, later on we'll read further down in that chapter 6. Let me just quickly read it. It will help us. Let's jump down to verse 6 of Galatians chapter 6. Because you help me explain what I want to explain in verse 22 of chapter 5. It says, and let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, selfishness now, shall from the flesh reap corruption. I'll still get down to this after. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Please, I want you to notice something here. From that verse 8, it was explaining that there are two force fields. That's the word I used in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. There are two places in life you can sow into. You can sow into the flesh, or you can sow into the Spirit. Are you getting my point? Now, when you sow, what you are doing is that you are putting in a seed. Of course, that's what sowing means, all right? Means. And then what you expect is what? Fruit. Now, please bear that in mind. And what it was saying in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it said, but the fruit of the Spirit. What it means is this. It is not under your control to produce fruit. Let me first clarify that if I tell you what it means. It's not under your control. The only thing under your control in life is what? Seed sowing. I like the way Mike Murdock put it. I heard that one in recent times. He said, everything you desire in life is a fruit. The seed is your assignment. Do you understand the point? That is, you can want great things in life. Please listen to it. Let me just chip it by the way to bless us. No matter what it is, there's a great thing you desire in life. All right? Don't worry, it can come easily as God brings blessing your way. But what will make God bring blessing your way is for you to dedicate yourself, do you follow, to the thing that He called you to do. Now, the thing that God called you to do may not appear to have a direct inclination or it may not appear to have a direct connection to the fruit you are desiring. But believe me, if you will serve God consistently, one day, everything you have ever imagined, He will bring your way. And I mean materially. The difference between Christians and those who don't have the knowledge of Christ and the realm of the Spirit is that unbelievers will try to labor for those things. So Jesus said, these are the things that the Gentiles seek for. He said, but means you don't follow that principle. But you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing will be added as a fruit. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, please bear that in mind. So when we're talking about fruit, therefore, He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things, self-control. Then the question you ask yourself is that, what is the seed? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Because that is the fruit. What is the seed? I will not claim to have a full answer on what the seed is, but you have to read things in context. And therefore, please, I'm recommending you read one of, there are a few chapters in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, in which I discuss this thing. Let me just explain it. Now, a seed is that which you have control over, I said. And those are the little things that you do that enables the fruit to come to you by themselves later. He said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. He said, the earth by itself produces. He himself does not know how. Now, before I finish explaining that, there are two things I want to quickly explain. If you see in verse 25, he said, if you live by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another. Now, what he was saying is this. What does it mean to live? It's to acquire every spiritual blessing that we have ever had or desire in life. For example, the man that is sick is said to live when he's healed. Do you understand my point? The man that was in sin is said to live when he's delivered from sin. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? So, live means to acquire life. I've explained that several times before. Now, there's a difference between, like we say, live by faith and walk by faith. To live by faith is to acquire life by faith. To walk by faith is to live your life, you know, the way we say it in our common day English, all right? By faith. So, he said, if we are living by the Spirit, Paul was explaining something, then let us remember also to walk by that Spirit. That is, you know, very common. This is where a lot of people stop it. We want to pray and pray and pray until we get something from God. Do you understand that? That's what he calls living by the Spirit. He said, if that's the case, then let us remember to pray and pray and pray that God may guide us in doing that which is right. That's to walk by the Spirit. Do you get what I'm going to explain here? Now, please, I'm coming to something. Now, I said that fruit, when it was the fruit of the Spirit, what he was saying from reading Galatians chapter 6 is that we have sown our seeds into the realm of the Spirit. Do you get the point? And then what comes out of that naturally is what? The fruits of the Spirit. When he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, what he was saying is that this is a product of where you walk. Please, try and get me. What you lay emphasis on, what is important to you, everything you see there, I explained that in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. In fact, you know the interesting part? That was the center of the whole book. I wanted to explain to people that great faith is not a matter of struggle. It's about taking little faith and doing the right things with it. Do you follow the point I'm making? I said something, that selfishness is the center of what? Sin. It's the root of sin. Alright? That all the fruits of sin that you see, which you call the work of the, what you call the work of the flesh, is the seed is what? Selfishness. Something happened to my wife and I a few days ago, last few days, that I realized that selfishness indeed, it emphasized again, is the root of sin. We had a dealing with somebody and I was shocked about concerning what happened. Alright? Now, please follow me what I'm trying to explain here. Now, Paul said, let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. He said, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. So let us not do these things. What he was saying is simple. A man, remember, selfishness is the root, alright? Is the seed, the root of sin. Okay? Therefore, what he was saying is that being concerned, now listen, about blessing other people. I don't know whether you get my point. Being concerned about doing good. In fact, for me, you know, I said something recently that time has taught me that generosity is a, now please understand me, is a key to spirituality. Sounds very fun. You hear what I said? Let me say it again. Time has taught me, studying the scriptures, that's what I mean by time now, over time, I've discovered that generosity is what? The key to spirituality. I'll explain what I'm saying in a moment. He said, Pastor Bangboy, he said you can't sow so that you can get, and none of that. I never said you can't sow and you will get. I said you can't sow so that, you get my point? Because that is not generous, that's still selfishness. Self is still the center. I would not have given you my shirt except that I needed a suit. So take the shirt and I will get a suit. It is not you. I don't care. If you like, let freeze in the cold. I don't care. But once I need a suit, I'll start giving out shirts. That's selfishness. That's not godliness. Please, follow me. That is only selfishness. That's why I will preach it. Anybody can get angry. But it's the truth. You can't tell me. People say that, when Peter gave Jesus Christ his boat, he got a draught of fish. They asked you a simple question. Was there a deal on the draught of fish? Was there a deal? There was no deal. Peter was just relaxing there, and Jesus came and said, hey, you. You catch anything today? Nothing. May I borrow your boat? Meanwhile, since fish you not catch. So you need to rest. Let's borrow your boat meanwhile. And the man was generous enough to allow him to have the boat and pushed him a bit off, all right, to the water so he could preach. It was after that he decided to bless him with fish. And after a blessing with fish, what happened? He took the fish back. He didn't notice that. He said, now follow me. And Peter abandoned everything, including the fish they just caught, and followed him. What did God do? He just demonstrated his power to the man, and the man forgot about fish. And he said, from now on, you will be catching men. Now, so you see, forget this issue of playing kalokalo with God. It doesn't work like that. But there's a reason why I said what I said. I have discovered it, all right? That because talking about seed into the spirit, selfishness is the root of sin. The opposite is the seed that produces the fruit of the spirit. That is, instead of being concerned about myself, I told you that two things gathered the light of Jesus. Number one was what? In fact, both of them are summarized in one thing, love. It's just which love we are dealing with. In fact, somebody came to Jesus and said, which was the greatest of the commandments? And the man, Jesus said, what do you think? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might, with all thy mind. He said, fine. But there is a second one that's like it. That is, they are of the same caliber. Thou shalt do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That is, as far as God is concerned, there's no difference. Both of them, they are the same thing. The man that's walking in one will be shown by the way he will walk in the other. And the man who claims to be loving God and does not love people is a liar, or he's purely deceived himself. In fact, I was listening to Ravi Zacharias over the last few days, and he said that religion, okay, that does not put love for neighbor, all right, as primary, he said, will usually lead to what he called, I think, fanaticism. There was a way he described it. That's what I said. That's what I mean when I said that generosity. When I'm talking about generosity now, is people think only about money. You know, I mean, you know, poverty is a serious problem. You know, so when people are very poor in a country like this, everything is interpreted cash-wise. Do you understand what I'm explaining? If they jog around the field three times, how much they go pay? You know, that kind of thing. He doesn't think that it's for my own health. It's how much are we going to make from jogging? You know, now don't let me even digress. I'll tell you stories to see what I'm trying to say. When you talk about generosity, people often quickly think about money. But let me give you some practical things, which may also appear like material things anyway, but to help you understand what I mean by generosity. I'll give you two instances. Abraham and Solomon. Abraham, when God called Abraham and said, no, when Lot and Abraham quarreled, Abraham called Lot, at least their workers quarreled. He called Lot and said, this place is now too small for us. You, take one and let me take after you. Choose which direction you go. I'll take anyone. Did he give Lot anything, materially, personally? No. But for letting Lot choose first, that is generosity. Do you get my point? Let me give you Solomon's example. God came to Solomon and said, ask for anything, 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 anything. You don't even have anything. Let's play a game. Just think for 15 seconds. If God just showed up now and said, ask for, forget God's self. One very rich guy who can't do anything, just say, ask for anything now. What are you going to ask for? You know that kind of thing. How much more is God? I said, ask for anything. Say, God, are you serious about this? All right, let's start with Niger Delta. All this oil they are collecting from Niger Delta, I want it. After that, we'll move down to South Africa. All these gold mines, I want it. You can start wanting anything you want. And if Solomon had asked for it, do you think God would have given him? Under such circumstances, the answer is yes. Most certainly, yes. Because even God said that if you had asked for the life of your enemies, I would have been forced to grant it. Yes, Solomon did not ask for any of those things. That is the cost. When Solomon asked God, all right? When Solomon asked God for wisdom, it wasn't just wisdom he asked for. He was rejecting material wealth. I don't know whether you get the point. Did you get what I said? It wasn't just wisdom he asked for. That was one. But at the same time, he was letting go. Or, you know, how many of you did economics in secondary school? Opportunity cost. Remember that thing? As a child, I crammed the word or the expression opportunity cost. But I didn't understand the meaning of the word opportunity and cost until I became an adult. And I realized in life, there's a cost. But anytime you take advantage of an opportunity, there's a cost. On your scale of preference, anyone you don't choose is the opportunity cost. Do you follow what I'm saying? So for Solomon, opportunity cost was billions and billions of dollars worth of gold, crude oil, do you understand what I'm saying? Land, many things. So that's what I mean by generosity, okay? Is still the center of spirituality. I believe that thing totally. Go on, if you want to read that book, if it can be yours, you understand what I'm trying to explain. That is, once you see, the thing is that when people want to obey laws, they need too many laws. But when people want to have the right spirit and sow the right seeds, they need very few laws. At each point in time, they just know the right thing to do because of the spirit that is pushing them. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Now, if you read that my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, explain something. That when we say the word fruit, you'll find out that it said is love, joy, gladness, joy, that's amplifying alternative word, gladness, peace, and all of that. Let me explain something to you. The fruit of the spirit is love. So we try to love one another. That's a mistake we make, really. That context, that love, you can't try. The fruit of the spirit, as an example, joy. Therefore, you want to be joyful. You know one thing I have found out? Joy is something you can only attempt. Let's be real. You know, joy is just an attempt. Either you have it or you don't have it. That's why Paul talked about the peace, that's another thing, of God that passes all understanding. There's a kind of peace. No, let me tell you something. No matter how much teaching you have had, let us assume around your house, you're sleeping. They hear gboza, gboza, back, back, back at the gate. 4 18-year-old boys holding guns. They open this door now. First thing you check is the time. It is 2 a.m. Ashabalaba, you will begin pray. No, so. Now, that's just 4 18-year-old boys holding gun. They can't even come out during the day. Now, imagine when armed men gather. They are not looking for money. They are looking for you. And they surround everywhere around where you are. And they are not three. They are not four. They are men. Men of war, trained. And your servant rushes in. Alas, my master, how shall we do? I'm describing Elisha. Remember the story? And the man said, oh, I don't worry about them, Joe. And he continues sleeping. My man said, Abraham, you don't get the point. It's a whole, this is an army with a talk. And I said, don't worry. Those who are on our side, they are more than those who are on their side. Oh boy, don't be ordinary. I be that too. That's where I'm going to. This is not determination. I shall not be afraid. All that nonsense. Which kind of I shall not be afraid? The Bible says, mindful that we are but flesh. Normal people, they fear. Under such circumstances. In Master Elijah, what happened when Jezebel threatened? No be race. Jezebel just threatened. Say, hey, what lies a lie? I'm coming after you today. When Elijah here. Elijah begin run. Jezebel, look.